All right. Make sure you join us on tomorrow's broadcast of ABQ Connect. We'll get our typical update from the Heritage Foundation. We expect to hear from Genevieve Wood. Brian Cochran is going to be with us as well. And Cape New Mexico, they've got some things on the horizon they want to let you know about. We'll take a look at the review of 2024 and then things happening in the Capitol with them, their convention coming up later this year. All kinds of things, graduation, and we'll get the update from Cape New Mexico, reaching out to homeschoolers all over the state. So stay with us tomorrow for that in the 1 o'clock hour. John Sondager joining us with Bible Mission Global, and we're going to talk about Bible Mission Global here in a little bit. But John, first of all, welcome back into the studio.
Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. We exchanged notes about the Christmas celebration and what have you. Now, part of that, John, was something that we were mentioning here on the radio station.
Yep.
Was the menorah event it wasn't the first year, but it happens down at Balloon Fiesta Park, and the public is invited to be a part of that each year. I didn't go this year, but you did. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's sponsored by the Chabad, which is the, we would describe as the more Orthodox Jewish community. And my wife, Susie, and I, together with other Christians, have been reaching out to the Jewish community for over 25, 30 years, non-proselytizing, but unconditional love. And so last year, the rabbi called and said, would you help? It was right after October 7th, and of course, the stress and the fear of the Jewish community and the concern.
Oh, right.
They needed some support, and he asked us if we would bring some people. We brought about 100 people just to come alongside them, just to let them know that they don't stand alone. Well, this year he asked us again, and I don't know how many Christians were there, probably 400 or so, but there were over 1,200 people. They advertised it as the world's largest menorah because the candles are 9 hot air balloons glowing.
Yeah.
That's the menorah. And it's a wonderful evening of celebration. And
that's a balloon glow.
It's a balloon glow.
But a good opportunity for people maybe not familiar with. So what's the deal with the menorah? What's the whole story there?
Well, it goes back to the Maccabees when they took back, reconquered the temple. And the oil that when they restarted the lamp, they only had enough oil for one day, and it's supposed to run continuously for 8 days. The miracle of menorah was that the oil that they had lasted for 8 days, and it's called the light, and there's all kinds of biblical implications to it, but it's a celebration, and oftentimes it's near our Christmas time, and this year it was.
Yeah.
It was right on the Christmas season, so it's a wonderful celebration where they celebrate the victory of returning to Jerusalem, taking back the temple, and the light of the world.
And there was live music, activities for the kids.
Dancing, and I mean, you ought to see, and I say this with the deepest respect, you ought to see Jews dance. They get into it. They just are so filled with joy and happiness, and it was wonderful. And it's, again, it was important because the anti-Semitism that's arisen because of this Hamas attack, and you see people actually supporting Hamas in our universities, and the attack.
Hezbollah and the Houthis and Iran, basically.
Yeah, and another thing that Susie and I do every Sunday, we meet with Jews at the JCC, Jewish Community Center, and pray for the hostages and march around the soccer field. It's not a public thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just to let them know, and people from this church, Calvary, come, and it's just a support, and it's good for them to know that they're not alone for such a time as this, as we say.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of people on a global scale that are not alone, and they're finding out about that through the ministry of Bible Mission Global. John, for those not familiar with the ministry, tell them a little bit about it and your part, what brought you to it.
Yeah, Bible Mission Global, interestingly enough, I was in Germany this year where the international headquarters are. We celebrate our 40th anniversary. It was started 40 years ago in Russia under the former Soviet Union. And for those listeners who aren't old enough to know what the USSR stands for, us old folks do. Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Russia controlled all kinds of republics, including Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova, and what we call the stands, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and the rest of the stands. In 1991, it broke up, and now the stands are somewhat independent. Some are very conditioned upon. But during the Stalin years and the Khrushchev years, Russia was shut down to religion. It was declared to be an atheist state, a socialist, Marxist state. But we still had people there who had started ministries. And what Bible Mission Global does is exclusively work through churches. We help build churches. We help build orphanages. We provide Bibles, which I'll talk about later. But it's all through the church. There isn't a church that says Bible Mission Global Church. It's the Church of Tajikistan, Kuliab, Dushanbe, wherever it is. And so we come along the in each one of these countries, Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova, etc., Russia, has an executive director who's a native. I'm the executive director for the United States. We don't build churches in the United States. I raise funds through foundations, churches, and individuals to do projects, whether it's an orphanage, whether it's Bibles, whether it's whatever. And so what was really effective was during Ukraine when the war started.
Yeah.
And let me do a little aside here. Those poor Ukrainians are so war weary. They've been at this for so long. Almost three years, I think it is, and there's still people who are displaced because Russia took over areas. So we minister to those refugees in the different countries, and we also supply the churches through our executive director in Ukraine. He lives in Kyiv.
Yeah.
I used to call it Kiev, but yeah. It's Kyiv. And
me too.
We can supply the people there through the churches if they need clothing, food, shelter, heating, etc.
And let me say this, too, since you mentioned Ukraine. Whether it's Ukraine or other countries you're working in, me included, I mean, we can all go, oh, and have an opinion politically on what's going on. And let me say this, regardless, there's people there suffering.
Yes.
There's people there who need to hear the gospel. And that's what Bible Mission Global is doing, not only in Ukraine, but all those other countries that we mentioned. We're up against a break. We're going to take a quick break. John, can you stay with us?
Glad to.
I'd love to hear more details about what's happened in the last year and look forward to 2025 and let our listeners know how they can be supportive here in America with the work that's being done on a global scale.
Thank you.
We'll come back and talk more after the break on ABQ Connect. Yeah, and we would encourage you to do that if you want to. You got a question about the ministry going on with Bible Mission Global? I'm sure John would be happy to answer the questions you have. In the time we have left, you can call 338-5790 or text. We're having some Google issues. I asked someone about that because last time I threw that out, found out we weren't getting texts at 585 Live. And apparently there was some kind of a global attack on some of these things. I'm not sure it's related. However, you can try, but you could certainly call. We know we can hear from you by calling 505-338-5790. And John, in our first segment, we talked a little bit about essentially what it is that Bible Mission Global does. But let's talk specifically with the time we have left. Let's jump on this first to make sure we cover it. The Bibles that are being delivered to areas that we're awfully glad they're getting there.
Yeah, some opportunities have opened up, and I have to be very careful what I say and what I don't say. I'm John Sondager. I'm not over there. Nobody's going to shoot me unless they send somebody over here to kill me. But we have been able to reach into Iran with Bibles. The church is there. There's no regular churches, but there's house churches, and we can get Bibles in there to Iran. But what's even more amazing is we're able to get Bibles, and let me do an aside. What we do is we have Bibles translated into the language. Everybody speaks Russian. When they were under control of Russia, everybody had to speak Russian. But now everybody wants their own. The Tajiks, Tajikistan, the Uzbeks, Uzbekistan, they want their own language. And there's a lot of dialects as well. In addition to the full Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, we also have We put a family Bible. We call it a children's Bible, but Tyndale Publishing came out with it years ago. I went to them and got a license to use the illustrations, which are beautiful. And it's a story Bible that begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. And it's a wonderful tool to give along with a Bible. And because of we're able to get it done for very little, we can have for $10, we can distribute both of those. North Korea borders on Russia. Geography, most of us Americans are...
I asked you today because I did... I knew it was close.
Yeah.
And actually, but, I probably would have guessed China, but...
And there are Russians who work in North Korea and North Koreans who work in Russia. And just recently in the news, we know that North Korean army has been fighting along the Russians in Ukraine. But beside the point, we can carefully bring Bibles into North Korea from the North Koreans who have been working in Russia. And we can have Bibles brought into North Korea very, very carefully from Russians who work in North Korea. There's a lot of scientists. It's and we're able to print those Bibles and very carefully bring them in. But it's amazing, Steve, the desire in these war-torn countries. Mm-hmm. Yes, they need food. They need blankets. They need stoves. They need shelter. But they're crying out for the Word of God. It's we have sent in over 160,000 Bibles into Ukraine.
Yeah. When you mentioned the stands in Iran and different places, I've been hearing from people that are, you know, entrenched there for years.
Yes.
Of the revival that's happening.
Yes.
They say, men, they're dreaming dreams and
visions.
Yeah. So it's, you mentioned earlier, I mean, you're with the Bible Mission Global, which, by the way, BibleMissionGlobal.org is the website you want to go to. And we're just so removed from it. Now, there's plenty of dark, bad things happening in America.
Yep.
You and I are here, and there's just as there's Christians here, there's Christians in these countries that you're reaching out to and are being a light there, but they do need assistance.
And God, being God, is not limited by man, by borders. He opens doors. For example, in Turkey, there was the earthquake a couple years ago,
yeah.
And we were able to supply things. But what we didn't know, that earthquake was in Antakya, which is, we would remember biblically as Antioch, okay. Antakya, which is nearing the Syrian border. And when there was a war in Syria, which went on for all those years, a lot of Syrian refugees fled to that part of Turkey. So we were able to reach out to them through our Turkish ministries, and now they're going back into Syria. So now we'll be having the Bible going back into Syria. And that's a very volatile situation. I'm not going to comment on it because I don't know what the new quote-unquote government will be like. But nonetheless, we will be able to bring Bibles and missionaries quietly into Syria because we've been training them as refugees in Turkey. That's how God works.
Yeah, and what we're seeing there, and as things progress here in America, people talk about persecution of Christians,
yes.
Whether it's physical or whatever persecution, whether it's here or elsewhere. And the truth is, the church seems to flourish under persecution. Not that any of us would be praying for persecution.
No, but the problem with the United States, this is my opinion, is that we're fat, dumb, and happy.
Yeah.
We don't need God. We got it all. But when you don't have anything and you reach up and you look upward, there's only God for you. And the other thing that I really want to emphasize is in support of Bible Mission Global, the first thing I would ask is for prayer.
Yeah.
Because in this country, as well as Syria, Tajikistan, Moldova, Belarus, wherever, it's a spiritual warfare. Satan is alive and well, and he wants to shut down Christianity. He wants to kill Christians, and he'll do whatever means he can. But he's a loser. Satan's a loser because we aren't fighting against the government of Russia. We're fighting against the principalities and powers of the air. And that's where prayer comes in, praying for the people there that they will have an open heart to hear the gospel. Pray for the ministers, the pastors in each one of these churches that we support. we work with almost 4,000 churches, 1,500 more actively, and those are the people that are on the front lines. And so it's a spiritual warfare, but the support of prayer and any financial support is also greatly appreciated, and it'll be used very effectively.
Yeah, and again, you'll find it's really easy. Almost any nonprofit organization, you get the website, you go, you'll see right at the top of the page, give, donate, and that's the case with BibleMissionGlobal.org. You'll also find out all the different areas, John, that you talked about. Was it the Hope Houses?
Hope Centers. It's kind of like a fellowship place where children can come and get fed, and widows can come. We have programs, Wood for Widows in Siberia. We have widows who have to live on fireplaces.
Yeah.
We supply wood for them. We have one of my favorite ministries that we've just finished our first graduating class is in Afghanistan, where we actually met with the Taliban, because they're the government, and
right.
We said we would like to start a school for midwives, because young Afghan women have no rights of education anymore, but they can be midwives. So we started a school, and we just graduated after 2 years, our first school of midwives. So now they have a job, they have openings and things like that. And the Taliban said, we can't hand out Bibles. And then we said, well, if they want one, can we give it to them? Yeah, I guess you can. Now, that was unusual, but they knew we were doing something positive for their country.
Well, and the other thing that, correct me if I'm wrong, John, Bible Mission Global, you know, for those listening, I don't imagine there was a bunch of Caucasian Americans that showed up to talk to the Taliban. Wherever Bible Mission Global is doing work, they work with the natives there.
Yes.
They're familiar with the culture, and they're going to have a rapport that we wouldn't have.
Exactly. We support the local church, local Tajik church, the local Uzbek church, the local Ukraine church.
Well, listen, John Sondager has been our guest. You can hear we're out of time, but John, thanks again for what you do. BibleMissionGlobal.org. You can go there and support. Don't be a stranger. Let's get you back in.
Love to be. Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year, and thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.